This programme was made with the support of Sound and Vision, Broadcasting Funding Scheme, a BCI initiative.
This is Bunratty Masonettes, a documentary series on the history of the Masonettes on Bunratty Road. Constructed in the 1960s, the Masonettes are currently undergoing redevelopment. In this five-part series, we'll be talking to some residents past and present and members of the Residents Association who share their experiences of life in the Masonettes with us. We'll also be talking to local councillors and also the Area Housing Manager with Dublin City Council. In part one of the series, Noel McGuinness speaks to Sadie Cromwell and Fintan Garrigan, who share their stories of life as residents in the Masonettes during the 1960s. Noel asked Sadie if she felt Coolock was very far away, coming as she did from East Wall.
Actually, I felt it was out. It was like the back beyond. The bus journey seemed to take forever. And it was a single-decker service then, which only went to the village in Coolock. Eventually, it did come up the road and come around a corner, as the Masonettes were being completed along the left-hand side of Bunratty Road. I mean, you couldn't walk all the way up on the left-hand side because the Masonettes weren't completely built at that stage. Mm-hmm. And there was certainly no shopping centre there. There was, however, the local health centre, which was a prefab on Barry's Court Road, which was supposedly temporary, but it was there for 20-something years. Mm-hmm. That's how temporary it was.
And what sort of services was in the health centre?
Well, three GPs, Dr. Hughes, Dr. Kirby and Dr. Walsh. And there was a dental service and there was baby food and there was a baby weighing service. For the size of the building, I suppose, it was a very good service, but it became very crowded because for the area mm-hmm. it was catering for, it was far too small, mm-hmm. you know.
Now, you said you had two children when you were moving into the Masonettes. Now, can you describe to me what it was like, the Masonette itself, because there were some different sizes?
Yeah, well, there was only one two-bedroom unit in the block. You know, the rest were all single bedrooms. And you walked in through a very small hall, and to the left immediately there was a door which led into a bathroom, fitted bath, toilet and basin. Rather dark because there was only small fly windows up near the ceiling for it. And to the right there was a single bedroom, a double-sized bedroom, but nevertheless double-sized, was not very big, but, you know, ample, I suppose. And then there was a door facing which led into a living room with an open fire, solid mm-hmm. fuel fire. And off that to the left, there was a tiny kitchen. Quite small now, mm-hmm. you know. Like I said, very comfortable, very cosy in the winter time, I would say. But totally crowded, shall I say.
Okay. So is this your first impression was, this is too small for me?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And I was a bit concerned because I felt, with another child on the way, what am I going to do? Especially going up and down stairs, because I was upstairs with a pram, mm-hmm. you know, and then when you have two small children as well to mind them with the stairs, it's not like later on they put hall doors on them. There were no hall doors on them. They were open all the way through on the Oscar Traynor Road side from one block out to the next. So security was a little bit iffy, okay. because you had access all the way through.
So the railings that are there for years that I recognise...
Oh, the railings were fine, but the actual Masonettes themselves, you could walk into the first block and walk out through the back and over onto the next block and go all the way down because they were open.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. And when did they change all that?
Gradually over the years, I was pleased to see that they added the doors, which was nice. And then they put individual letterboxes. So there was, your mail came in through the letterbox, but that came long after I mm-hmm. left, mm-hmm. you know?
And all people that were coming in around the same time as you were they coming from everywhere?
Yes, I knew one lady who was downstairs in a one bedroom, and I recognised her actually one time when I went into town. She was a dealer in Moore Street, a very nice, small little person with black hair. And I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. And there was a girl upstairs who had got a two-bedroom maisonette, and she had, I think, two children.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember her name either.
Okay.
Having a craft moment, can't remember that thing.
Okay.
But we didn't develop great relationships with people because, like I said, you were very much out of it. I couldn't stay in a small complex like that with the children that I had. I had to take them out.
Mm-hmm.
So invariably every day I just took the bus and went down to my mother's in East Wall. They were young couples like myself with young families. And like I said, they'd come from this extended family situation, like surrounded by aunts and uncles and everything, out to this. And you don't form lasting relationships or make great neighbours over a period of only a few months. It takes a long time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation wasn't ideal for to do that. Like, it wasn't that you could say, well, there was a local area where people could meet.
Mm-hmm.
With our children or a play area or anything. There wasn't anything like that.
Can I ask you, with the regeneration that there is now, do you give any thought to it now? Before you answer that, I'll ask you, have you got happy memories of that time in the 60s?
Absolutely, and I wouldn't want to live anywhere else because of the fact that I only moved around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I would have said to you, oh, this is too small, this is ridiculous, and it was. But no, I'm quite happy here. And yes, my children all, I had five children. They all went to school locally. They married in the local church and they're all living locally.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, yes, my family are based. My only reservation is about the media, because I felt in the beginning, any reports that, negative reports in the media, if you lived anywhere from the roundabout in Artain up, it was called Coolock.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be Harmonstown, Darndale, Briarswood, Airfield, Kilmore, it was all Coolock.
So what would you say to all the new people moving into the new maisonettes that's coming onto Bunratty Road?
I say to them, you're very welcome. And indeed, yes, you have all the services you need around you, and you will be well looked after, and well, you'll be very happy here in Coola.
Fintan Garrigan now shares his stories with Noel McGuinness about coming to live in the Bunratty Maisonettes during the 1960s.
I applied to the Dublin Corporation, as was known then.
Mm-hmm.
In Jervis Street, we all remember Jervis Street, queuing up in Jervis Street. And I applied for either a house or a maisonette. And I told them I had a regular job in CIE. I was on the permanent staff. Oh, very good, they said. We'll let you know. There are a few maisonettes vacant in Bunratty Road. At the moment, oh, I'll have one of them, I said. I was delighted to have, if you get me one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a couple of weeks, they said there were number 137 Bunratty Road was vacant. And you would like to come in and collect the keys and go out and have a look at it, just.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, is it up to your requirements? And would you like it or would you not like it? And I got the keys. They gave me the keys and came out and I had a look. And I went back to them and said, I'll have it. I take it. So that was number 137 Bunratty. In fact, you can see it from here, from your studios. Yeah, it's still there. They didn't knock it down like they did with the other ones.
Not yet.
It's not. Well, I don't think they're going to knock that one down. No, no, no. They are knocking the ones down on the main road, Oscar Traynor Road. But
so what was the feeling now when you got to?
I was elated. I had my own hall door and it was great. And our own house, really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know yourself, there's no kitchen big enough for two women. You know what I mean? And my wife was living with her mother, you know, and she was there all day with her. You know what I mean?
So you got independence and your wife was happy as well?
Oh, she loved it. She did. We really did love it, you know. Mason, honest to God, it was great.
Do you remember, for instance, now when the change came, that was your shopping at the time, the local shop and then the village. But when Northside opened in, what was it, 1969?
About 1969, 70, yeah.
Do you remember the opening of that?
I do very well. That was a great night, that was. Now, it was only half the size it is now.
Mm-hmm.
There was only two supermarkets then, as we called them. one was Super Quinn, and he's still there now. He was where Tommy is now, Tommy's. He was on that corner.
Okay.
Where Tommy is. As I said, it's only half the size it is now, north side. And then the second supermarket was Five Star. And they were where Aware is now. Thus, they had their shop there, and they did very well too. In fact, all the shops there did very well. Because there's nothing else around here, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We had a van on Adair Avenue. It used to move off every night, and you come back about 10 in the morning, and you buy a few things off, you know, bread and milk and cheese and butter. Yeah.
I think that was a norm in a lot of the new estates.
Yeah, they did. They have, well, we call them huckster vans, but this was a good one anyway. I'm glad of them. You know what I mean?
What was the feeling among the residents? Was there a good feeling?
Oh, there's a great feeling, a great camaraderie there. Mm-hmm. And we're all very happy. Honestly, we're very happy in the Masonettes and the houses too. The 3 and 4 bedroom houses there in between the Masonettes, the ones on Bunratty Road and the ones down on near Oscar Traynor Road. And in between them, as I said, there was 3 and 4 bedroomed houses. And we're all happy there, really. Okay. Very, very happy. And I was delighted with that Masonette 137. I'll never forget it. We were so happy, my wife and 2 children.
Now, as far as you were telling me I wanted to ask you rather about the facilities that are around, the social activities and stuff like that. And at one time now, you've got a community centre built. Tell me about the evolution of that.
Well, that was great work went on there. That community centre, it was built by voluntary labour. Now, when you come home from work in the evening, you have your tea, or your dinner rather, and then... Well, there wasn't much television in them days. You know what I mean? Well, some people had aerials. We didn't have an aerial. Mm-hmm. We had the rabbit's ears on the telly, you know. We only got RTE1.
Yeah, but I think the spirit among the people would be true to say that got in there, and yourself included, dug up the foundation.
That was all voluntary work. When you went over after your dinner, like I said... you went over and you reported a Mr. Marshall that was there. I remember him. And I remember a Mr. Alf Croker, Lord of Mercy and Poor Alf, PC. He would direct you what to do. Now, well, I was handed a pick and a spade to dig the foundations out now. As I said, there was no JCBs, you know what I mean? Nobody come in for an Ixer there and dig them. So you had to stick to your width about 2.5 feet wide and about 2.5 feet down. So you had a pick and a shovel to do that. But you had others with you, and there was great camaraderie, you know what I mean?
It was great fun.
Great fun indeed. Well, we built it anyway, and we dug the foundations, and then they filled it in. And of course, once the foundations were down and the reinforcing steel was set in and everything to keep it from cracking, the foundation that is, the walls soon went up and the roof went on it.
And what about what sort of activities did they put into it when it was finally built?
Well, for the children, it was badly needed. I tell you, it was well run. There was table tennis there, and there was a netball, or maybe you could call it basketball if you like.
Indeed, yeah.
And other games on the floor. It was well used and well done.
Okay.
Finished. And of course, the adults would come along in the evening then. And there was a canteen there.
And this would be all available to all the people in the house, the Masonettes on Bunratty.
All the mums and the dads and the adults, we all went over for a cup of tea there in the evening. You know what I mean? Because, as I say, there wasn't much around. And it wasn't north side, like I said, to distract us. So we had to go somewhere. So we all went over to the centre when it was finished. Mm-hmm. And it was decorated beautifully. And a lot of work went into it. Voluntary, need I say. Mm-hmm. Voluntary work. And I did my little bit now and with me pick and shovel. And it was great. And the community here, great spirit there was. Great community spirit.
You have been listening to part one of a 5-part documentary series on the Bunratty Masonettes. Coming up in part two, Noel McGuinness will be talking to Noreen Byrne, director of Dursbuy, to hear about the early beginnings of the organisation in the Bunratty Masonettes.
This programme was made with the support of Sound and Vision, Broadcasting Funding Scheme, a BCI initiative.